I want to talk to you today. Of course, this has been the 4th of July week, and it was really great for us. We enjoyed it, and I'm sure you did. It was a very special time, and especially with what happened in our government, with them signing that, as they call it, the big, beautiful bill. And it's going to do a lot. I know a lot of people are torn. You may be torn about it, but I think you'll see. I think you will see the results. I'm just happy that I live in the United States of America. It's still united, church. It is still a godly nation, and I'm thankful for that song. One of the greatest ones I think ever written about our nation is "I'm Proud to Be an American." Is anyone proud to be an American? And it even made us more proud this year to be able to celebrate our nation. The Bible says in Psalms 33:12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, if you've ever been to other nations, you realize that they're worshiping a cow or they're worshiping Buddha. They've got all kinds of gods and idols that they worship. But America worships one true God. And I'm thankful that, again, that we have a president that is not slow to say, we have one God and we live with him. We trust in God. And the other day he said, "Thank you, God. We love you, God." Never heard that from any president in our entire lives. And you know that, unless maybe Reagan took it a little bit down that road, but not quite like that. I also want to take that a bit farther to say, blessed is the family whose God is the Lord. I want to take it a bit farther. Blessed is the man whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the woman whose God is the Lord. Blessed are the children all out here. They're even learning over here in toddlers' class this morning that they're blessed because their God is the Lord. Somebody say, we are the people. We're the people. We're the people. I know it says that in our Constitution, but we, the people, amen. That's what I'm going to title my message today, we, the people. So I know that over this weekend, people barbecued hot dogs and hamburgers, and we had apple pie and ice cream, celebrating America's freedom the American way. It's what we do with our families, our friends, and the signing of our amazing Declaration of Independence. Our Constitution, the founding of America, the founding fathers who put it all together and declared our nation's freedom in July 4th, 1776, 349 years ago. Did I say 300? 249 years ago. So we are still celebrating that beautiful day on July 4th, 1776. But let me tell you this. I'm just going to tell you, I didn't know this. Maybe all of you did. Maybe some of you didn't. But let me read this to you. And I thought this was, I'm just going to say, I think it was so funny. But maybe I should say, I think it's very interesting that though the fathers declared our freedom, the forefathers, our freedom as a nation, but it wasn't until 7 years later, the final treaty was signed, ending the Revolutionary War. But it wasn't over until that treaty was signed. And so that was September 3rd, 1783. Now we celebrate 1776. But the whole thing, I mean, it was declared then, but it wasn't totally final and in its fullness of freedom until 1783. So what happened is they declared their freedom first, and the people lived like they were free. They were shouting, they were celebrating, and they stood their ground until the whole thing was final. And that Revolutionary War, which was so hideous and so terrible, until it was over, they stood their ground until they had the absolute victory over that war. But before that, they were living as free men and women. Now, you know what I do here. I'm going to run some parallels today because you can run parallels with America's freedom and our freedom from the cross. Well, we could just declare those parallels all day long and never run out of parallels to make. So let me just run a couple for you today from the freedom of our nation and yours and my freedom as Christians, because we're the people, amen? We're the people. And I found this interesting. If any of you watch the news, and I know you have, though many, many Americans celebrate, did you know there were many who rioted? Rioted and denounced. I was so upset. They accused us of worshiping America and all kinds of things because they have such hatred for this government. Really, they don't even love their nation, many people today. So while some were celebrating with hamburgers and hot dogs, the little swim, whatever they had, some were rioting and saying, this is wrong. It's the craziest thing. But you can run that parallel with where we stand. I'm going to read to you today out of Galatians 5:1. Many of you know where I'm headed right here. Galatians 5:1. Brother Chris, I'm so glad you sang that song. Not only glory, glory, hallelujah, his truth is marching on, but also I trust in God, my Savior, because we are who? We're the people. So that's what we do. We trust, we love him, we serve him. And when we entered into contract with Jesus and we gave our hearts to the Lord, on that day, we entered into total dependence upon him. And another parallel, we came into total dependence with him, but like the Declaration of Independence, we declared ourselves independent from the world. Did anyone hear that? Jesus said at the cross, he said, it is what? Finished. It's all done. I don't have to come down. I don't have to do anything else. And so he said it was finished. And so when we went there and received him, we declared that I'm a child of yours now, Lord, and I have total dependence on you, but I declare myself independent from the world and all it has to offer. Amen? All that it has to offer. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't offer anything that's real. So let us read Galatians, since you're already there, Galatians 5:1. Look at this. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not entangle again yourself again with the yoke of bondage. We came out of the world. He took the noose off of our neck. We were sentenced to die. We were sentenced to punishment. And when we came to him and everything that he did at the cross, he said, now that you know, you stand fast in your freedom and in your liberty, all that I've given you to you, you stand there like a rock because I am your rock. I'm your rock, Christ Jesus, and I change not, I don't move. He said, look to the mountains from whence cometh your help. Why? Because a mountain doesn't move. Now, he said, with your faith, it can do certain things, but I'm not talking about that right now. You stand fast with the liberty which Christ made us free, and then he gives us a total instruction. Okay, you stand fast in what I've done. What? Total dependence on me because I've given you freedom. And don't you dare go back and be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. A yoke is something that goes around your neck. The old farmers used to plow with oxen, and they had those huge yokes, wooden yokes that they would put around their necks. And those poor old oxen would walk with that yoke around their neck, that heavy, heavy yoke. I don't know how much it weighed, but I'm sure it was heavy. but two of them walk together under that yoke. And if you or I go back and get entangled with the world, he said, you will yoke up with something that will entangle you, and you'll get messed up and tangled up with the world, and the next thing you know, you'll have a buddy or a friend or an acquaintance to yoke up with, and you'll walk all bent over like the old woman that came to Jesus. Remember, she was bent over. 12 years she had been that way. So he said, don't go back and get yourself tangled up in the world again, because I have made you free. Now, as we were just talking about earlier, this week, some celebrated their nation, America. You say, oh, they didn't know what they were doing. They were just having a barbecue. Well, whether they knew what they were doing or not, they were doing it. It's the same as Christmas. You know, everyone, even downtown and at the malls, they celebrate Christmas for an entire month. We all do. With lights and trees and kindness, and everybody's just in a different mood at Christmas. And many are celebrating because they know what it's all about. Others don't know what it's about, but they want to get in on fun. It's a good thing. We love to see the lights. We love to have the feeling, and we love to give, and we love to receive. And so everybody wants to participate. This week, we saw everybody, many, many people participate in the family parties, the get-togethers, having a good time. Some knew, some didn't. Some blessed their nation when they prayed, others didn't. They didn't care. They were just having family over. But I want to declare today that because we know, you've got people that know and people that don't know. Now, just like some refused, just like we said, some were rioting. You have received Jesus, we the people. You have received him. You've gotten his glory. Millions around the world, billions probably, have received Jesus as Lord and celebrate him. And all over the world, people were in church today. They were already here, you know, with time zone changes. They were already in their house praising with God's people. But there's other millions, maybe a billion out on the street that want no part of it. And so while we celebrate, they refuse to receive this freedom. But that's their choice. They can do what they want. But last week I was so excited, and so were you, as we went out to Romans and D's and used their pool. Thank you, Roman. It was beautiful out there. We had such good fellowship and food. And those that were baptized last week, why did they do that? They were declaring their dependence on Jesus and declaring the declaration of independence, that we're not a part of that anymore. Lord, we are a part of your kingdom. And they went out and declared, made an open confession of what had happened on the inside. They said, this is the evidence of something has changed on the inside of me. And so they declared their dependence on him and their independence from the world. So when Jesus sets us free, listen, what did I tell you just earlier? Here's another little parallel. That when our forefathers signed the Declaration of Independence, then 7 years later, there was a signing in 1873, 7 years later, to the end of the Revolutionary War. 7 years later. And they had to stand fast. Now, don't let go. But you and I, when we received Jesus as Lord, we went to the foot of the cross. His blood healed us and cleansed us. And when he did that, there was no 7 years to wait. Isn't that good news, Kelly? We don't have to wait 7 years. It was immediate. You remember when you gave your heart to Jesus? It took how long? About that long for you to get the words out of your mouth. He said, if you confess, if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. Like that, right now. So there is no waiting to that. you got your citizenship. We could read over the book of Ephesians that we are citizens, literally, citizens of another country. And so, hallelujah, we are the people, amen? And he said, my kingdom is this. My kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, he said, I can't do that. That means holiness. That means living right before God. That means right standing with God. Pastor, I just have a problem with that. I just can't seem to live as I should. I just can't. Oh, no, he said, that's my kingdom. So when you receive me, you receive righteousness and you receive peace. You say, well, I don't have much of that. But your choice, go back to him. He said, I've declared you free. So don't go back and get entangled with those giants that come to disrupt our lives. There are giants, there are hindrances like anxiety, fear, worry, stress, addiction, all these kind of things that come, and they're challenges. I know we're challenged every day of our lives. Why? Because Satan wants you to be entangled again with the life you used to live, or the way your mama was, or the way your daddy was, or, oh, I don't know, and you're worried all the time. He said, don't get entangled with that worry. Well, I'm afraid something might happen. I have a hard time. Well, don't entangle yourself with that fear. That's just total fear, because Jesus said, no, when you came into my kingdom, you're a citizen of my country. That's what the world does. Worry, stress, fear. Oh, I'm going after money. I'm going after this person. I'm going after that. I'm going to get all I can while I can get it. Trying to take this person, trying to take this person. No, Jesus said, my kingdom isn't about any of that. My kingdom is about righteousness and peace. I have peace for you. You can have it if you want it. And joy. I was praying for someone the other day, and she said on the phone, she said, will you pray that I'll be happy? I said, well, I'd rather pray that you have joy. Because if you get joy and you feed that on the word, pretty soon that happiness will flow out of you. But if you don't go here, you can't go there. Receiving him is good. That's our first step. So go there. That is available, that peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. He said, you don't have to dig that up on your own, because we don't have anything to give. In fact, we don't even have our own salvation. Because he said, oh, Lord, remember Zechariah said, you are the joy of my salvation. He is the joy. Okay, so he's made everything available to us. But for me, receiving what I just told you, that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost in heavenly places, because we are citizens of another country. So when you get that in your heart, to realize that we are just intruders down here in this world, that we live here, you work in the world, you go to school in the world, and we are like the other night, you know, here's another parallel. There were fireworks going off, dogs were barking, and guns were shooting. I don't know if they were guns, probably the fireworks. They were still going off at my house last night. I don't know who was doing it, but all around they sound like gunshots. And I'm thinking they're still celebrating. Well, as I begin to see what I'm telling you today, I realize as we really come to know him and we stay in this kingdom and we realize that we are citizens of that kingdom, do you know that when you go in front of people that there should be fireworks going off in your heart? Woo, y'all are quiet in here. You got company? You go before people, little fireworks go off. They're like, I heard something. I saw something in her. Just something in him. You're just a little bit different than the rest. That was those fireworks celebrating who he is and who you've become. Just realize that you have become that. So we just take who we are so lightly, but we are the people, church. We are. We are the people. And we have that righteousness and that peace and joy. And so many Christians walk around with a long face and not so happy and not so free and not so joyful. But it's available to you. We can have it. It all belongs to us. So when we realize what we have and what He has given, it's like moving out of a ratty neighborhood. Okay? Today they talk about living in the hood. Okay? So you've moved out of that hood and into this hood, and there is no comparison. There just isn't. Because you've come independent from that. Oh, you're still going to love everybody you meet. You're still going to love the world. You're just not going to run with them. Now you work with them. You go to school with them. That goes without saying. And we're going to show ourselves kind and good to them all. But also let them see the fireworks. And that doesn't mean you're Bible thumping all the time. You don't have to do that. You just be who you are. The other day we had a guy come in, and it was just Michelle and I here, and he walked in, and we were working on Monday morning, and we had finished, and we went in to talk about the event calendar, and I was on the desk reception area, and she was standing there, and this man walked in, and he blocked the door like this and stood there. He had a Coke, and I didn't know who he was or what he was. And he apologized for shutting the door too hard. And then he said, "How are you, ladies?" And we said, "Well, we're good. How are you?" And he said, "Well, I'm good." And then he went off on something like, "You know, God takes care of us. You know, this is His source," whatever that was. And then he went into talking about another street in town. Newcomb, and talk about his mother, and everything that he talked about, he just went like this, was about 6 words, and then he would switch gears again. And so he just sat there, and I said, "Come, Holy Spirit, we need you." And Michelle moved from being close to him and moved over him over there. Well, I realized we couldn't get out that door if we needed to. And so I said, "From now on, we keep this door locked." Well, she keeps it here locked when she's here alone. But there are homeless people that leave the river, come over to the store, the little restaurant over there, and then they find their way here. We had some here last night. But he was there, and I realized that I was depending on Jesus at that moment without even praying. I wasn't praying. Let me tell you, we must be prayed up. It really pays to be prayed up all the time and have His wisdom and have His strength and have His love, what He promised. And Michelle said, "Oh, I was praying." Well, maybe that's what she should have been doing. But me, I'm listening to this man. I want to know where he's going and what he's doing. And I know she's a carrier, okay? So I'm just saying it's good to be prayed up. And in short, in just a couple of minutes, I listened to him talk, just to see, was he okay or what he was about. And then I said, it just came to me, "Thank you so much." And he said, "Oh, you're welcome, ma'am." He said, "Do you mind if I sit out here on your grass?" And I said, "No, I don't mind." I said, "Just go sit out there, you know, under the shade tree near the street, but don't sit here near our offices. People come and go." So what I said that to say is God will give you what to say, and there was no fear. Afterwards, I realized the door needs to be locked unless there's a man in there or other people in there with us. But He will always lead you where you need to go, and you may not have the answer at the moment. But if you will depend on Him and realize that you are a citizen of another country, you realize, "I'm not in that neighborhood anymore. I'm in this neighborhood." Amen? I'm in this neighborhood. But I want to say this. Peter told us, he said, "Now do not use your freedom or your liberty as an occasion to sin." Mother Evans was a beautiful person. I loved her. She was pastor, and her husband was bishop of a black church in Pasadena. And I was so close to them after Rick and Jamie passed. And they so ministered to me. And she would always tell her people when she caught them, or she didn't catch them, but when they began to walk over, cross the line and get over into the world, do what they shouldn't be doing, and then they'd try to find their way back. And they'd say, well, I'm under grace. Jesus will forgive me. And then she would say, don't you use your freedom as an occasion to sin. But it seems today sometimes people will use grace, and the Bible even says don't abuse grace as an occasion to sin. Now, if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, but then Jesus said, well, go and sin no more after that. Okay, so let me show you 1 Peter 2:24. And I'm just about closing here. I don't want to say too much because this is a full message. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. Look at this. Many of you cut your teeth on this, but let's bring it on home today. Who himself bore our sins where? Inside his body. He bore our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. Now, in Isaiah 53 and 5, it says you are healed. But here it says you are healed. It means you're going to be. Here it says you were. Back at the cross, you were healed. You say, then why aren't I healed? Well, grab a hold of this and begin to talk to him about it. Lord, you said it was all finished. So you took my sins in your body. Look at this. Having died to sins. That means you and I died with him because our sins were in him. We died with him at the cross. Why? So that we could live under this righteousness. By what? Because of his stripes. We're healed. Our body, our souls, our spirits, our families, our emotions, all the things we don't understand. We live so earthly sometimes. You know, the old preachers used to say, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. And I'm thinking, Lord, I think we've turned that around. We're so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. So we just get too earthly minded. But if you'll think on him taking your sin, my sin, inside him, that we can live righteous with him and have his healing over our head, those evil migraines that come to torment people. The blindness, the deafness, what Brother Ken's going through with his lungs. It doesn't say it won't come because we're living out here in the world. It's going to come because of the food we eat, the things we do, and mainly maybe even just an inheritable thing. But Jesus said, it doesn't matter to me. I finished it all at the cross, so I just want you to know who's by my stripes you were healed. And so here's what he says, though. Look at the rest of this. For you, every one of us in this room and around the world, who are the people? We the people. He said, for you the people, oh, let me tell you who you were like. You were like sheep, and you were just going astray. But you have now returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your soul. He oversees you, he watches you, and he says, you have come back. But before that, you were just straying around like a little lost sheep. But now we have total dependence on him. And he said, don't you lean to your own understanding. Why? Because you don't have any. Don't lean upon your own understanding. Trust in him. There it is again. Now, we're independent from what? The world? We're independent from bitterness? Are you serious? Oh, yeah. The Bible talks about that root of bitterness. If you're angry, there's a root to that anger. If you're bitter, there's a root to that. If you hate people, there's a root to that. And Jesus said, I kill that thing. I took all of that bitterness, ugliness, hatred, murderous spirit, I took it in me so that you could live holy and without all that in this world. So I know about those challenges, church, but listen, the Bible says the Lord is our shepherd. And what? We shall not want. If you're wanting, why do we have addictions? Why do we get entangled? Why do we go back and yoke up and get entangled with the mess we came out of? Because we want it. That's why. You want to behave that way. You want to act that way. You want people to think this about you. You want. And David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'll have need of nothing because who Jesus is. He set us free. So, church, we don't have to go back to that old neighborhood anymore. Because the Bible says in John 8:36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you are what? Free indeed. If he makes you free, and he did, then he says, then you are. 1 Corinthians 10:23. Please put this up. I want you to see it. Now, look. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 10:33. Paul said this. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but they don't edify. So you can do anything you want if you choose. Paul said, I can do what the world does. I can do that. I can do that. I can slip around and do this. I can flirt over here. I can do this. I can drink. I can get drunk. I can prostitute. I can do just whatever I want. But look at this. Paul said, well, all things are lawful for me. I can do it. But not all things are helpful. In other words, if I do that, I know I will yoke up with the wrong people, the wrong thing, the wrong place. And then I get entangled, I get mixed up, and then I have a hard time getting free from it. Okay, and then it goes a little farther and says, and I'm just telling you, all things are lawful for me, but they just don't edify. Okay, let me go a little old school on you. Okay, you can smoke if you want to. That's a big one. People say, well, if I smoke, am I going to heaven? Probably. I don't know, probably. But if you're sitting, ladies, in a restaurant and you're smoking, and you got a wine glass sitting right here, you can do that if you want. You can. But it's not edifying. So people's going to come by. Are they going to say, look at that woman of God? Look at that sweet woman of God. They're going to say, you live just like us. There's no difference between you and me. Now listen, the church will pacify us. There's nothing wrong with that. Your pastor's just no legalistic old-fashioned. But the world's hard on you. The world don't give you any grace. Oh, the church will. The church will pamper you. The world, they're like, you hypocrite. If you go to the movies and you sit down and watch an R-rated movie, and it is so R, if it can be so R, or so, it used to be X, wasn't it? And now it's our whatever. But if they see you who call yourself the man of God and you work with them sitting in that same movie, they're going to look at you. You hypocrite, don't talk to me about church. Don't talk to me about God. Look what you're doing. So now you can go. You can do that. You could go watch that R-rated movie. Just go right ahead and help yourself. But it's not going to edify God. Certainly not going to edify you. Baptist's going to downgrade you because they're going to think she's living back down there in the hood. You're running with all those people and now you've got all yoked up and then you're trying to figure out how am I going to get out of this mess? And you got to lie to your wife. You got to lie to your husband. You got to lie to your friends. You got to lie. Try to get yourself out of it. So I'm just saying he's made us a new creature in Christ Jesus. So don't tear yourself down. Don't be yoking up with anything you shouldn't because it's just for our own good. Amen? You find freedom when you find Jesus. When you abuse your freedom, you abuse him. You lose him. Now, I'm going to close with this. Did I say that once already? I don't think so. Did I say that once? Okay. Listen, please, get this if you didn't get anything else. No one is ever living between Jesus and sin. You just can't live between the two. You're either going to be a slave to sin. Where do you draw the line? It's either Jesus or sin. You're either a slave for the devil or you're a slave for Jesus. Now, you're a free slave because he pays for everything for you. He takes care of us. He honors us. He blesses us. He prospers us. So he says, I'll take care of you. But I'm just saying right now, you can't live between the two or you will be, of all people, most miserable. You'll either serve God or you'll serve mammon, but you can't serve both. So he's declared us a free people, and we can declare victory in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me? Oh, yeah. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. We, the people. The old song I grew up on, and Diane, you played it so many times. Is our keyboard on? Is the keyboard ready to play? Diane, can I put you on a spot? Did she run out the door? Diane, would you come here? Come here. I want you to play this song for me. Let me sing this old song because it's older than Isaiah is, so he won't know it probably. All right, y'all will find her. It's probably C, Diane. Now, she was in the old church, and she and my daddy and myself and my sister, we were the band at this time. And so part of the band is here. And now our children are here. Okay, Isaiah, turn it on for you today. You say, Pastor, I wanna be one of the people. I don't want to be a part of this old neighborhood I'm living in. And that neighborhood is all right here. Y'all can play that softly for me. And you just, the old neighborhood is here, and there's constantly a pull at your spirit. There's constantly a pull at your soul. There's constantly a challenge, a hindrance. He's always trying to hinder you, to take you out, to make you displeased with yourself, with your home, with your family. He wants to tear you down. But today, if you say, Pastor, I want to leave that old neighborhood. I want to leave this bondage. And you say, I haven't told anybody this, Pastor. I believe this right now. Some of you are here and you say, you know what? I haven't told you so. But I have been yoked up with something, and I can't get loose. I believe you'll get loose today. I believe he will loose you. And you don't have to wait 7 years. Well, when I'm older, it'll leave. No, you need to come while this message is on the table. Would you come? Would you step out and come? Brother, pull the lights just a little. I might give somebody a little more encouragement to come. If you say, Pastor, I want to come and move out of this neighborhood, someone will walk up here with you. Would you come? Let's pray this prayer together. I still know that you're in this house and you've been yoked up with something you shouldn't be yoked to. And you've been praying about it and you keep going right back to it. You say, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I've already been to the cross. You got to go back. I don't know what to do. Well, you felt the conviction in your heart. You felt your heart pounding. But I'm going to tell you, it's never too late. Right now, I know not everybody wants to walk up front. Some people are just too shy. Play softly for me. Please, just that song would be good. Whatever you feel, Diane. But could we pray the sinner's prayer together? Let's do that. Let's all just start fresh and brand new today. Dear Jesus, say it with me. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me and I will be washed. Cleanse me and I will be cleansed. Heal me, and I will be healed. I give my heart to you. Come live with me. Lord, I receive you as Lord of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his beautiful face towards you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Would you be seated for just one more minute?